Yo, neighbors, welcome back to the show. It's your host, Kaylin, and I'm here again with you. Episode, I don't know, 74, 75, something like that. It's in the show notes. But today I just thought I would come and like have a little fucking chat session with you guys and just shoot the shit a bit, bullshit, and just catch you up on life and kind of keep it light and fun. We're going into the holiday season. It's been a bit heavy for me. I just want to have a few laughs with you guys today and chill out. So I hope you enjoy the show. And I think I'll be dropping one more episode this week and then maybe one or two next week. And then that's the end of the year, guys. 2023, like, can go fucking suck a dick. I'm ready for that to be over. Anyone else? Yeah. Okay. So, let's just cruise through these last couple weeks and hang together. And I love you guys for listening. Let's start the show. We're back for another episode. Just fucking scattered and disorganized. But we're going to finish the year off on a high note. I got a couple episodes I'm going to drop before the end of 2023. I don't think we'll get to the 80 episodes we did last year, but it will be like 76. So that's pretty good considering my whole life fell apart this year and I had a really hard time concentrating on anything at all besides the horrors. So it's a nice snowy Tuesday morning. We're just about at Christmas and I had about an hour and a half free this morning. And so I thought I'd come chat with you guys and just have like a fun little story time about some things, I don't know. Some life stuff. So I've been listening to lots of Theo Vaughn lately. I know like some people think he's overrated or something, but like I just think he's so funny. And like such a he's so good at just like being himself and like not being embarrassed about it and knowing that like that's what his audience wants is like just like the raw dog of the Theo Vaughn brain. And like we want to hear his like wild thoughts and like what the fuck he's doing. So I was listening to one of his solo episodes, which like his solo episodes are actually my favorite ones that he does because he just like riffs on reality and just talks about what he's been up to and says like really fucking funny stuff. And so I was listening to an episode the other day and I thought it was so fucking funny. His like his intro or like, yeah, it was the intro of the show and he was just like going off about some fucking hilarious shit. So I made it like a little... made a little clip of it for my Instagram, my like personal Instagram, and I just thought like everyone's gonna think this is so fucking funny, like this reel is gonna be a massive hit. It literally got four likes, and two of them were from my same friend from her two different accounts. She's a big fan of Theo, but no one else even fucking cared or gave a shit about it. But honestly, I thought you guys would probably like this, so I'm gonna play you the little clip of what he fucking says to start the show. This I don't know, this I just find this guy so funny, but Here, I'll just play it for you.
Right. And sometimes when I don't have any lotion, you know, I will, I'll spit on my hands and rub it on my arms. I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know why I do that. I think that is, I don't know what that is, but I don't, that's just, yeah, I'll tell you everything. I ate half of a butterscotch that I found in my truck earlier. And, yeah, and I don't know why I did it, but I did it. It's just, that's the kind of stuff I'm doing, I guess. And, anyway, sorry, we are, good to see you. We are here. Happy September.
That's the kind of stuff I've been doing, I guess. So if you never listen to me, like, if you're never listening to Theo Von, maybe it's like a good time to go fucking check him out. He's a pretty funny dude, but I feel like he's like everywhere. He's like pretty popular. His guests are like fucking A-list celebrities, and like, yeah, I think he's got some real momentum going. But just for like a silly kind of weird white trash dude that just like speaks what's on his mind, and he's like obviously a little on the spectrum or whatever. But if he's out there doing that, like, huh, doesn't it just prove that you should just be yourself? And like, that's the best way to be appreciated in this world, is like just pure authenticity, even if it's fucking weird, even if you're a bizarre character or like a strange duck. Like, be yourself. People appreciate authenticity the most in this world, and it's like pretty rare. Everyone's wearing some weird mask or trying to do some kind of character that they think served them in their life, or you know, the person we think we should be isn't always the person we really are. And we think we're like, you know, doing a good job of acting, but there's like something in the human being that can spot inauthentic behavior really well. And whether we're like conscious of like seeing an inauthentic behavior in someone else, or it's in our subconscious, there is something inside of us that knows that person's not being real. And so we can't connect to them like authentically, and we can't, there's some like wall between us, and we might not realize it, but it's a way that we can't get close to people if they're not themselves, and we can tell. And so then there's like a stopping point. So I don't know what the moral of that is. I think like just settle into yourself. I mean, you can't just do it all at once and flip a switch, but remembering that and working on just being yourself and dropping the mask is going to give you more authentic connections and like better results. You're going to find the people that speak your love language because you're showing them what it is. You're going to find the people that can relate to you because you're showing them you. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's impossible to do that if there's like an artificial layer over top of who you really are when you go into the world. Yeah. So Christmas is coming. It's just around the corner, less than a week away. And to be honest, it's not that thrilling of an event for me this year. I'm not going to go into detail and shit talk anyone, but you can guess who's probably ruining my Christmas. The same person that ruined a lot of this year. Whether intentionally or not, for Christmas, it's been a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot to process, and to like, it's a lot of different things. It's a lot of discomfort and unease and overwhelm. I don't know, like, how to always deal with these big hard feelings. So I don't know. I'll probably be drunk most of the time. And, when my daughter's away with my ex, obviously, and I'll probably just find as much ways to dissociate that I can and just like process it later, because it's just like really overwhelming and it's a lot. So anyone out there going through the same kind of thing, having a whole new kind of Christmas, having separation from people that they loved or usually spend time with, or having to be alone this Christmas, or having to do things alone that you didn't think you would, just anyone having hard times during the holidays, just know that I'm there with you. And I don't know, man, like, send me a message. I'll like pretty much talk to anyone about anything. I like to just get really deep, probably too deep, about anything. So if you want to have someone to talk to, I love talking. Me and my friend were talking about this yesterday, how we share so much of ourselves with people because it's like a human need to be understood on that deep level. And so it's probably a trauma response of mine to like overshare and want to like be really deep, because I'm looking for like the connection of being understood and understanding someone deeply, whether that just be like in friendship or something else. It drives me a lot of the time, and I think it drives a lot of people. And I think it's like you have to kind of understand the line between how hard you're trying to be understood and how their level of being able to understand you, and to choose who you give that offer to. And because if they can't meet it, you're re-traumatizing yourself a bit in a way. It's like you're proving to yourself that you'll always be misunderstood when you offer it to people that can't understand you. It's a way of subconsciously telling yourself that, you know, you're no one's gonna understand you ever. Yeah. And it's sort of like, we're humans, we just want to be seen, we want to be known, and then we want to be like accepted for the depths that we've showed each other. But where we get into trouble is like, you know, looking for that from people that can't reciprocate it. And I think looking back, I have a long history of doing that. I'm still doing it all the time. Like, I'll run into someone I barely fucking know, and they'll be like, I thought you moved away. And I'll be like, oh, do you want me to trauma dump on you right now? And just fucking spew all my, the depths of my heartache onto them. It's sort of weird. It's like impulsive. It's like an addiction. So I think that's what I'm going to work on next, is figuring out who deserves to understand me on that level, and then trying to reserve that part of me for them. Still be authentic, but like, you know, a little mystery is okay. Wait till they show me that they can understand something before I try to make them and cram it down their throat. Yeah. I don't know. Life's crazy. And like, behavior is a language. That's something else I've learned. So people could say like, I want to hear everything, I'll understand, but when their behavior shows you something different, you have to take that as like a part of the language. They're communicating something to you. That's an important thing to remember when you're dating and trying to get to know people, new people in your life, is that their behavior is a language. We do this thing where we're like trying to over explain people's behavior to ourselves. Like, oh, he didn't text me back for like 27 hours. He must be really busy. He must not have seen it. And even if they tell you that, like, the language of their behavior, we're all holding our fucking phones all the time. There's not a person on this planet that's going to go 24 hours while they're on the grid without seeing the notification that you sent them a fucking message. They just don't want to answer you. And that's the truth of their actions. So even with like a longtime partner, a friendship, a business transaction, you can tell by someone's actions how they really feel, no matter what their words are saying. Because we all have all this like weird trauma and hangups that helps us to, or that makes us want to like over explain ourselves or make excuses or, you know, yeah. I think like, for me, this is a hard thing to understand because I feel like my actions match my words, and I always like, not always, but like mostly, I just bluntly say what I'm thinking, feeling, wondering, you know, to people. And it's hard for me to like play the game of like beating around the bush and, yeah. So like when, I mean, we'll just go back to the example of dating because it's like on my mind. So say I spend some time with someone, go for dinner, whatever. And then afterwards I'm like, oh, I'm not really into seeing this person again. And like every other person you mostly will come across will just stop interacting with you, maybe slowly, maybe suddenly, if they want to end the connection. For me, I literally like, there's like an impulse in me to like make everything really clear between me and the person. And it's not easy and it doesn't feel good to basically dump someone after one date and have to tell them like there's nothing that connects you. It's really hard, but I'm that person that just needs to say it and say like, I'm sorry, I didn't feel a connection with you. I had a really good time. I hope you find what you're looking for. I'm like, for some people, it's so fucking hard for them to do that. Like, I don't want someone to wonder. Maybe that's part of my problem. Maybe I need to be a little more mysterious. I mean, not in this instance. It's better to be upfront, I think, when you're dating and stuff and let people know, honestly, but, maybe people can wonder about a bit more than I let them wonder. And I'm just such a fucking big mouth. If I could just shut the fuck up, maybe sometimes, but I can't. I can't. I don't know why. Maybe one day I'll know why. But yeah, we're coming to the end of the year, and I just got to say 2023. Like, I don't know how it went for everyone else, but like, holy fuck. It was like a massive shift for me. Obviously, everyone knows that listens to this that shit went fucking sideways and like came out completely different for me. I'm just about to approach my third month after my separation from my husband. And like, I feel like I've lived a million lives in these 3 months, or like, it feels really like so much has changed, and I've gone through so much and so many emotions and just like just so many changes and things that I feel like 3 months, there's like no way it can only be 3 months. Like, I'm like a totally different person. I wonder what in 3 more months, what it's going to be like after that. Where I'm going to be. It's sort of bizarre. life is wild. You don't know what's coming. You don't. One day at a time, I guess, because there's no way to know. You just don't know. I don't know. My friend sent me this meme the other day, and I thought it was kind of brilliant. We fucking communicate in memes now, everyone, so just have to sit around and talk about them like a nerd. But yeah, it's really good. It says, I was definitely born in the right era. I love being able to tell men to shut the fuck up without being lobotomized. I mean, like, if I was born in, like, 1870, I would have a lobotomy for sure by now. No wonder those broads were hysterical. The dudes, man. The horrors and the dudes. No offense, my dudes, but... yeah. I don't know. Someone needs to rebuild my faith in men. And I'm not sure it's possible, to be honest. Like, okay, I know a few really great men, but like, a few, like, I've met thousands of men in my life, and I know a small handful of really good men. What are we doing out here, people? What are we fucking doing? I don't know, man. Life is crazy. You know, I was at yoga the other day, and like, so like when you're going through like traumatic shifts in your life, well, like, I guess I'll speak in first, or like about myself. So I'm going through a dramatic shift in my life. And so there's a lot of like pain and emotion that like I can't feel all at once. So like, yeah, so a lot of the times it feels like I'm kind of outside of myself, or like, you know, not like fully grounded in my body, dissociated, just like, you know, hovering a little off to the side. So I don't feel the horrors. but I was at yoga, and like, we were doing some like, challenging poses, and the yoga instructor, who maybe is listening, shout out Jasta, but she said during class, she said, these poses aren't easy. But then she said, it's hard to stay in your body. It's not easy. It's hard to be in your body and be present, and you're doing a good job. And like, I like shed a few tears when she said that, to be honest. So I feel like I really needed that message. Like, I'm like, you know, you feel bad about being a bit checked out, and like how you're not fully present in a lot of the moments. It feels like you're missing stuff. But like, for someone to say, even though she was talking about yoga poses, for like me to get the message, like, it is not easy to be in your body. It's not easy to feel these hard things. It's not easy, this human experience, but you're doing a good job. Like, you're conscious of your disconnect. You're trying, you're dealing with as much as you can. You're putting as much on your plate as you can bear each time. And sometimes it's just a tiny bit, and that's all you can take. And to be consciously aware of that, and to tell yourself, you're doing a good fucking job. This is not easy. Life is crazy. These feelings are hard, but you're doing a good job. And you'll get there. I just thought it was like something actually really beautiful, like the most beautiful message for someone who's struggling. emotionally, like, you don't have to deal with all it all at once. And also, you don't have to feel bad about the way you process through it. You got time. You got space. Be kind to yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Let it come as it comes. Be graceful with how you deal with it. It's just really hard. It's just really hard. Life is fucking wild. Yeah. And we judge ourselves. We judge ourselves so harshly. So, like, to just tell yourself you're doing a good job is really important. We judge ourselves so much. I kind of just realized something that I probably have always been doing, but I wasn't really consciously aware of it when it comes to, like, judging myself, is that when I have, like, social interactions or, you know, of any kind in groups or whatever, you know how you, like, come home and kind of go over it in your head all the moments and conversations, and you kind of feel shitty about some things you said, or, like, something embarrassing you did, or I've just realized, like, doing that, the act of, like, doing that, like, going back and going over everything and, like, calculating it in a way, what I was really doing was, like, actually calculating how I measured up in the situation. Does that make sense? So I'm, like, going through and, like, thinking, like, oh, that wasn't that cool that you said that. And, like, I'm just, like, measuring myself on the scale of, like, how I want to be perceived compared to how I presented myself. And I know that sounds, like, really shallow and phony, but, like, I didn't realize I was doing it. And I guess that's, like, probably what we all do. And it's so that we can, like, keep curating this, like, mask or this, like, persona that helps us feel accepted in the world and loved and makes us feel like we're going to get the love and acceptance that we desire if we could just, like, fit this certain mold we think we need to fit or, yeah. And it's sort of, like, sad to think about that and think about how I'm putting myself on this scale all the time against some, like, fake version of me. And, like, all the effort that I have put into accepting other people and accepting things around me and thinking I was accepting myself, I was actively doing the opposite subconsciously to myself. So if you leave interactions and go home and go over all the words you said and beat yourself up about parts of it or give yourself a fucking pat on the back for parts of it because you felt cool or I think that's just like a way that we are expressing inauthenticity to in the world. And if you show up to the interactions and it's authentically be yourself, and have an acceptance for the authentic part of you, you probably aren't going to go home and do that. You probably aren't going to go home and think about all the places you fell short of the person you think you should be to get your needs met. Just something I've been thinking about. But fuck, life's hard and it's hard to be in your body. So also be graceful with yourself when you're not fucking purely authentic and accepting of yourself. Like, life is a journey, and I'm sure there's going to be ups and downs on that path of self-acceptance and you know, yeah, I don't know. But let's tell some funny stories. I got a couple for you guys that I've been thinking of that I thought were, like, super funny. I want to share. I'm going to call this first story When Rocks Met Bob. So I have a brother, Bob. I don't know. I don't think he listens to this, but maybe he does. But Bob's a bit of a character. He's like, you know, he's a grown man now. He's doing well and has a family and a wife, and I'm really happy for him. But this kid was always a bit of a, I don't know how to say, like, definitely some ADHD, maybe a little bipolar. Just like, I don't know. So there was this period of his life where he was like single, living in a townhouse. I'm just going to say selling drugs, doing drugs, selling drugs. And I don't know, drinking lots of energy drinks, smoking cigarettes and weed, and being kind of a slob and playing a lot of video games. Sorry, Bob. You know it's true. So maybe he was like 21, I want to say, maybe 20. And I have this friend that I worked with in like a resort town for like a year. And like a year or so later, we decided to go to Europe together. And then a year after that, we decided to go to Australia together. So before we went to Australia, Roxanne flew to my hometown to like come meet everyone and see where I kind of come from and stuff. And then we left together to Australia from my hometown. So while she was here for like the 3 days, my dad was actually in the hospital. He was like super sick with appendicitis. And so we didn't really get to see a lot of my family. He was in another town in intensive care. And so there was just Bob around. So whatever, she was meeting my friends and stuff. But then I was like, well, do you want to meet Bob? And she'd heard a lot about him because he's like a pretty notorious character. And pretty unhinged dude. And like the stories I told her, she's like, I can't even believe this guy's real or whatever. So I text Bob. I'm like, we were going to go to the hospital and see my dad. It was an hour away after went to see Bob. So we're like, we'll go see him on the way. I'm like, maybe he'll want to come to the hospital with us. He didn't have a car. He had lost his license or I don't know, who knows what. He's just like an unhinged person, an unhinged character. So we go over to his townhouse and like there's like, anyway, whatever. So we knock on the door. It's not in a great neighborhood. It's in like a housing complex. It's a little dodgy. We knock on the door. He's like, come in. We hear him just yell, come in. Like doesn't even answer the door like a human being. So we open the door and like the door opens into his living room and it's like middle of the day. It's pitch black. All the windows are covered in like blankets. He's like sitting in some kind of flannel sweatpants on his couch with like a full gaming headset on. His coffee table has, there's literally not a square inch of it where you could see the table because it was like covered in like 150 empty energy drink cans, ashtrays, garbage from snacks. There's like mold on some fluids in cups, McDonald's cups, you know, just like fucking pure filth. He's like sitting on the couch, doesn't even stop staring at the TV or gaming. He's all greasy and pimply. Oh, I hope he doesn't hear this. He's gonna be sad. I told this story. I promise he's way better now. And he's like, looks all fucking strung out and he's gaming. And Roxanne's just kind of like, what the fuck? And it's like, there's like nowhere to sit really. It's like dirty. We're like standing there. Like, this is my brother Bob. He's like, what's up? Doesn't even look at her. He's like, And she's like looking at me like, what the fuck is this? Like, most people don't live like that. Most people don't see places that look like that. I don't know. There's like metal playing in the background. I just can't describe to you the scene that was laid out in there. There's like piles of clothes on the floor and fucking broken chairs and like pizza boxes stacked in the corner. It looks like he hasn't fucking left that spot in weeks. There wasn't even Skip the Dishes in those days. He was just... I don't know who was bringing this fuck food, man. I don't know how he was surviving in that cave. And so we're like in there for like 5 minutes. And obviously, like when you're eating garbage, drinking energy drinks, doing cocaine all night, gaming all the time, you can have like a volatile emotional state. And he's already like a bit volatile, just naturally. So we're sitting there for like 5 minutes and I'm like, he's like, what are you guys doing today? And I'm like, oh, we're going to go see Dad at the hospital. Do you want to come? The guy fucking lost his mind. Like, I was like, literally as casual as that. Do you want to come? And he's like, no, I don't want to fucking come. No, I don't want to fucking come. I don't know what everyone's fucking problem is. Trying to make me feel bad about not going to see Dad. I don't have a fucking car. I got shit to do. He's like, and I was like, what? I was like, calm down. He's like, don't tell me to calm down. I was like, no, fucking relax. Like, the first time you're meeting my friend, you're fucking embarrassing me. Relax. And he's like, don't tell me how to relax. Like, in like another minute, he was like, get the fuck out of my house. I never want to see you again. I was like, okay, we're going. We just went outside, got in the car quietly, and Roxanne, like, she's a fucking cool chick. Like, she's my best friend at the time, a really cool person. And she was like, looked at me with like the most shocked look on her face. And she's like, all the time, all the things he ever told me about Bob, like, I never expected that. And he was like that, man. He was just like a volatile, haywire character. He's always like really impulsive, super impulsive, like no impulse control whatsoever, no filter on his mouth. He'd like, I remember one year he came to Christmas. We like get together with all my cousins, big family event every Christmas Eve. And like, There are a lot of rednecks in my family and stuff, and like conservative people. I remember like one year he showed up in this hoodie that had like cutouts of porn scenes, sex positions, like tiny faces with like money shots on them and girls bent over with some cream pie hanging out. Like fucking people getting railed, whatever. He just showed up in it. My parents were there, everything. Everyone's fucking always disappointed in his choices. One time he showed up in yellow skinny jeans that were like so fucking tight, the tightest jeans I've ever seen. And I said, there's no way those are men's pants. And he's like, they're not. I was like, what the fuck, man? One time he brought some girl that is his friend that's like an escort to Christmas. And my family had never met anyone like Bob that had like no filter and to say the filthiest fucking shit ever. And this brought really beat him at his own game. And everyone was just like, what the fuck? Fuck, man, who is this chick? And she's just like, never met any of us, just lipping off, talking about banging my brother right in front of my cousins. He's just like a certain type. He has a podcast too. I can't listen to it, honestly. I love him. And I love talking to him, but like when he's like talking shit in my earphones on his podcast, and I can't be like, dude, you're full of shit. What are you? I can't like interact with it and be like, what are you talking about? Or like, I can't just listen to him bullshit into my ear. But anyone who knows Bob kind of, I don't know if that story was interesting, but the guy's like a decent dude now. He like goes to church. He has 3 daughters. He lives in Minnesota with his wife. Like, he's doing great. But like, that part of him's still there. He's still a bit ridiculous. Yeah. Good old Bob. He sort of reminds me of Theo Vaughn, to be honest. It's like if Theo Vaughn had like 4 Red Bulls before he talked, and like bipolar personality disorder too. But like the ADHD, the autism, and the and the, what do you call it? I don't know. Uniqueness. He's like a very Theo Vaughn type. People out there like really love him or really don't love him. But I don't know. I guess like Bob's always himself, even when it's like really volatile and like a himself that no one wants to fucking be around. I guess he's always himself, right? But he has a podcast. I'm not sure what it's called. He just kind of like restarted a new podcast, but maybe I'll have him on or something. Oh my God, should I have him on the show? Message me if you think I should bring my brother Bob on the show. I kind of just want to show you guys now because I feel like that story didn't really like give justice to like the moment that was in my life of him just like us showing up, him being some like basement dwelling fucking lunatic and throwing me out of his house in like 2 minutes. And before that, I hadn't seen him for like 8 months because he'd just been like cave dwelling. It's sort of crazy. He's a fucking wild animal. Yeah, maybe I'll have him on and then you guys will see what I mean. For sure. So yeah, he has a podcast. Do you know who else has a fucking podcast? I mean, everyone does, but like, I was just scrolling through my Instagram and there was like a clip from a fucking Demi Lovato podcast. Who the fuck is listening to this fucking potato head bitch talk? I don't know, man. And here she's talking to Stephen Greer, that fucking grifter piece of shit. And they're talking about like saving humanity. Demi, the potato head Lovato, and Steven, the fake as fuck federal agent Greer, are on a podcast talking about how to save humanity by talking to aliens. Like, did you have that in your fucking bingo cards for this time of your life? Like, did you think after, I don't know, when you heard Demi Lovato's first song, when she was that cute little hottie, that she'd be growing out a mullet and a weird double chin, starting a podcast where she talks to Stephen Greer about saving humanity by talking to aliens? I don't get it, man. I don't get her. I don't get her little transformation. I don't know what would make you feel better about looking uglier. I mean, everyone has their own thing, but she's uglier and dumber. I don't know. Maybe she was replaced by a clone. Because I guess. Like, just go back to singing, whatever, and being a girl. That's what you are. Anyway, whatever. Someone's going to get mad at me about saying that. Saying to be a girl because that's what you are. That's also where we are in the world. It's bizarre. It's a bizarre place. Yeah. I hear something. So I got this meme from my other friend, and I thought it was like a really cool idea. And it could be possible, but it says, what if you're the only real, what if you are the only thing that is real? Is it possible that the entire physical world and universe is solely your creation and you are the only thing that's truly real inside of it? Honestly, sometimes it feels like that. It's like nobody understands me. But then I'm creating a universe of people that habitually misunderstand me. That's some fucked up shit, dude. Sorry, I'll continue. It says that you alone are quite literally the creator immersed in your own creation. Could it be possible that you've encoded and prearranged every incident, event, and even apparently real other people to occur or provide exactly what was needed for your maximum learning and in divine imperfection, and divine imperfection. In perfection, not imperfection. It says, could I be a messenger you scripted to appear along your path to remind you of this truth at this time? And like, you know, honestly, I could see that being a possible reality or the possibility of this reality. Just like how perfectly synchronized things can be. And yeah, I could see that being true. I could see like if I wanted to learn about how to like authentically step into myself, maybe I would have designed a scenario in a reality where I was living inauthentically and a calamity came along to upturn my life and change everything in an instant. Like that kind of divine perfection. And I sort of, after going through so much this year, can, you know, relate to that. Because listen, okay, after everything went down in my life, everything that came after me choosing myself and doing really, really, really hard things to move on and find my next step in the world, the universe is meeting me with synchronized fucking beauty every step of the way. It, like every time I think I'm at a sticking point where I can't find the next step, something beautiful happens and the universe provides exactly what I need at that exact time. And it just keeps happening. And I think that's a good way to know actually that the choices you are making are for your greater good, because when you make the choices for your greater good, you're leaving room for good things to come. You're opening the door for it. So when good things are coming and meeting you in that place and providing for you and serving as like a connectivity point to your next higher step, that's all the signs you need and all the divine messaging you need to show you where you're going is the right direction. And it's not that you won't be tested. I'm tested all the time. I'm tested constantly with the temptation of having my old life back. And every time I have to say no to it, it feels really hard, like almost impossible. It's like really such a test emotionally to say no and to choose myself. But every time I choose myself, something better happens after. And it's fucking scary and it's fucking hard. And honestly, it's so painful a lot of the time. But choosing yourself. Or for me, in this instance, the choice, like, I mean, it's not always going to be a choice between someone and yourself. It's going to be just like a choice. Maybe it is, actually. But the lesson comes, and then the path before you isn't easy to decide on. But when you take the right path, there's a divine ease that welcomes you. And not always. And not in every way. But you know, like when you think like everything always works out, when you can like look back at things and say like, wow, everything always really does work out. That's what it is. It's that divine energy leading you down the path you're meant to go down. I think. I don't know. Sometimes I think I have it all figured out. Sometimes I feel like there's a swarm of bees in me and I want to tear my skin off and like run screaming into the night. It's balance, right? I think like that's the feelings of life. Okay, before we go, I just wanted to tell you guys one more story. I don't know, hopefully it comes out better than the Bob story, because like in my mind that story of Bob is like so good and so funny and so crazy, but it's hard to like describe, I guess, if you don't know him. But I'm going to tell you this story that I just recently spent some time with this friend that the story's with, and because she lives now in Port Townsend in the States in Washington. And I recently had like a chance to spend some time with her. And so we were talking about some old stories of like times that we had. And so her name's Amber. She's lovely. But so I remember I was like maybe 20, I want to say like, oh no, I wasn't even old enough to go to the bar actually. So I must've been, was I? Yeah, I think I wasn't legal age. Cause I remember, I was. Oh, no. I must have been 19, 20, something like that. So, because in Canada, you can go to the bar most provinces when you're 19, some when you're 18. So I was like just over the age limit, somewhere around there. But we have some friends that live in the Okanagan Valley, which is like the Los Angeles of British Columbia, I guess you could call it. It's like lake country. There's nice beaches. Girls walk around in thong bikinis. It's like really Hollywood, you know, lots of fake boobs and stuff. And that's the kind of place it is. So one day on like a, I want to say it was like a Friday morning. She's like, I'm going to drive to Kelowna. It's a 12-hour drive. And she's like, I'm going to just go for the weekend and come back. And I was like, I don't work this weekend. She's like, why are you coming? So we like got our shit together pretty late, actually, in the day. It's probably like noon we left town, but we had to do a few things. So she had to like drop off her check and I went and bought like an ounce of weed for our road trip. It's like just some stinky, sticky, icky, gooey, ooey. Nice fat bag. So like I smoke a lot of weed now, but I smoked a lot of weed then too. And so I was just like twisting them up. We hit the highway. We were smoking lots of weed in the truck, just fucking having a good time, listening to some music. She was driving. And then we go through like this pass to get to Southern BC. So, and like on the other side of the pass, there's always like some kind of speed trap. But we're young and dumb, so we weren't thinking of that. And we're just like flying through the pass because we got a late start, getting high, fucking. Then all of a sudden, of course, you know what happens, like berries and cherries behind us, the blues and reds. And she's like, holy fuck. And like the whole car reeked like weed. There's like roaches in the ashtray. And there's like a fat sack of nugs in my lap because I was rolling a joint. So I like grabbed the bag of weed, closed her up. But like the act of like moving the weed around made it smell like just fresh, stinky ass weed in the whole car. I like ziplocked it up and like stuffed it up under the dash. And then I was like, is there anything to spray? We're just fucking sweating, panicking. He's like walking up The guy's like, gets out of his car. He's like sauntering up in his sunglasses. And I found some like bug spray, like bug repellent. And I started fucking hosing the interior of the car. And he like walked up and he's like, what are you spraying? And I fucking dropped it. Quit doing that. And I was like, oh, fuck. He's like, license and registration, please. Fucking dead serious, like stone cold motherfucker. Like, we're fucking dead. It reeks so bad. It smelled like a grow up in the car. We're just fucking pie-eyed, stoned out of our brains. So he takes her registration and license back to his car. Then he comes back. And he's like, you guys caught any drugs in the car? We're like, he's like, have you been smoking? And I was like, I have. And then he's like, you've been smoking in the truck. Like, obviously I've been smoking in the truck. There's no way to get out of that now. I already know that. So like, I was trying to backpedal a bit. So I was like, yeah, yep. Sorry. Yeah. He's like, why would you do that? You can impair the driver. And then he's like, were you smoking? He's like fucking staring her dead in the eye. She looks so high. I don't know what's this guy. Anyway, and she was like, no, of course not. I'm driving. Like, he's an idiot. And he's like, don't you know you can impair the driver by doing that? And I was like, I do this thing with cops where I just try to act really stupid and like pathetic. It seems to work pretty well. But so I was like, I didn't know. I just like put on this whole act. I didn't know. I started crying. I wouldn't want that to happen to her. I'm sorry. I get really car sick. I was gonna puke. Like, just fucking laying it on. And then he's like, I'm just like what, kind of half crying and like over explaining myself, blubbering in the passenger seat. And he's like, stop talking, fucking you get out of the car. Gets fucking my friend out of the car, brings her to the back of the truck. I'm like just sitting in the passenger seat like fucking stoned, like in the horrors of like the anxiety of like, we're gonna get arrested, we're fucked. He's impounding this vehicle. We were going like 40 kilometers over the speed limit when he clocked us. maybe it was a little less, because I don't think we got excessive speeding tickets, but we were going really fast. And so he brings Amber to the back of the truck and he's interrogating her for a bit. I don't know what they're talking about at all. I'm just like fucking staring dead ahead, like nervous. Actually, I was like looking around the car to make sure there was nothing incriminating. I was like, you know, but mostly just frozen. So he like comes up to my window, taps on it with his like fucking leather gloved knuckles. And so I open my car door and he's like, where's the marijuana? And I was like, what? And he's like, give me the marijuana. And they're like, I don't know. I feel like I was a genius for doing this, but so I like reached in the ashtray and like grabbed a handful of like soot and roaches in my hand. And I was like, here it is. And like pretend crying. And he's like looking at my hand, getting like really visibly angry. And he's like, where's the rest of it? I was like, this is all we have. Or, and I was like, it's all right here. This is everything. And then he's like, I'm just like fucking holding it out because like I don't want to put it back, and like he's not taking it from my hand. Like, obviously he's not taking it. My hand's all black with like ashes. And he's like, starts lecturing me about marijuana and blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, what should I do with this? He's like, I don't want it. Like, screams out in my face. And I just like, fuck it. So I just sat there the entire time while he was fucking lecturing me with this like dirty ashtray hand and roaches. I didn't want to put it back. I thought he'd make it mad at me. I didn't want to throw it on the ground and he wouldn't take it. So the highway cop just like fucking lights me up there on the spot. And like, I can't really explain to you how fucking stoned I was at this moment and how much anxiety this gave me and how sweaty my handful of roaches and ashes was becoming. So he's like super pissed at us, I guess, because we like kind of fooled, or like we got around his little trick questioning a bit. And so he says, stay here or whatever. And he goes back to the back of the truck and he does like a field sobriety test on my friend That was before swabs, so he was just like making her follow a pen with her eyes and such. And then I'm just sitting there like, we're fucked. We're fucking getting, we're gonna, like, this truck's getting hauled to Prince George, which is like 2 hours away from there. And we're gonna get a ride in a call car today. Also, I think we had liquor with us too, but he didn't see it. It was under the seat. Because, yeah, of course. We're like 19. We're getting high, drinking in the middle of the day on a 12-hour road trip. What the fuck? Anyway, all of a sudden my friend like gets back in the car. And I'm like, what the fuck? She's like, I don't know. I don't know what just happened. And the cop pulls away and leaves. And I was like, what the fuck? What happened? And she's like, I don't even think he gave her a speeding ticket in the end. I think he didn't clock her properly. And then he wanted to catch us on the weed. But there was nothing he could do because she wouldn't admit to anything. And she passed the sobriety test. And she got a ticket. I think it was for like a headlight or cracks in her window. I think it was a headlight. I think she had one headlight out. And so he said, get that fixed as soon as you get to Prince George. And he gave her a ticket for it. And the guy just fucking cruised on. And we sat there for like 10 minutes just being like, holy fuck, that was a close one, man. And like, literally, I'm not kidding you, an ounce of weed. If you don't know what that looks like, it was like a Ziploc sandwich bag, 3/4 full, like puffed out, fat ass stinky bag of homegrown hydro, like strong ass stinky ass sticky ass weed. Like, it literally smelled like we were growing weed in the car. That guy must have been dumber than fuck, man. But yeah, I don't know, we got away, man. And we were like holy fuck, man. It sort of reminds me of this time when I was with Roxanne, actually. She was living in Banff, which is outside of Calgary, and I drove all the way there from my hometown, which was like quite far. Spent the night, and the next morning we were going to Warped Tour together. So we woke up and Roxanne rolled this like big fat blunt, like this beautiful, long, gorgeous, perfect Kohner blunt. We're like, we're going to Warped Tour. Like, it's a big punk rock festival and it's like the fucking best. Like, anyway, I can't describe to you how many great bands and like awesome of a time it was back in those days. But so we like stopped at the store, got a couple of energy drinks, and then got onto the highway and we were in the park and I wasn't really thinking, like, because it was like a double highway, like a divided double highway, big, nice highway. So I just started cruising, but in the park you can only go 90. And so Roxanne lit the blunt and we started smoking this blunt and I just opened my energy drink and I was like, this is the best, like a blunt and a fucking energy drink. We're going to Warped Tour. Pew! We get fucking pulled over. And so Roxanne just fucking tosses the entire blunt right into my drink. So the whole blunt's gone. The whole energy drink's gone. But you know what? We were like, he came to the window and he's like, where are you guys going? And we're like, we're going to Warped Tour. And we were like, so happy still. We're like, yeah. I was like, sorry, I just didn't realize like about the park. I just got here last night, blah, blah, blah. And he was just like, you guys are so happy. Like, do you know that you were like excessively speeding? Like, you could be in a lot of trouble. I was like, we're just happy because it's like the best day or whatever. And told him our life stories or whatever. And he gave me like the smallest ticket. He could have like towed our vehicle, but he gave me the smallest ticket ever and didn't smell our weed. So another near miss. Yeah. I think that's like the thing is that you, I don't know. For me with cops, I always just play super stupid. Play dumb, pretend you're a dumb girl, you don't know anything, you can't do anything yourself, you fucking, I don't know, I didn't know that, I'm sorry. Like, really pathetic, like, be as pathetic as you can. No one's ever going to feel bad for you if you're not even a little bit pathetic. And you kind of need their pity in these moments, so that's my best legal advice. play fucking stupid, be a bimbo, and you don't get your ass handed to you. Hopefully, I don't think. Yeah. And if you're listening, Amber, I love you so much. That's one of my favorite memories. Like, I just remember that night. So it's like a 12-hour drive. We didn't leave till like afternoon. And we wanted to get down to Kelowna for like our friend's birthday. Everyone was going out. I think we rocked up at like 10 p.m. or something at the club. But I remember like when we got to the Coquihalla, which is like the big fast highway going into that city. And it's like, it goes to Vancouver actually, but it's a big, it's like six lanes on each side and it goes through like the mountains. And I remember it was like pouring rain and we each had like four energy drinks. Obviously we were smoking lots of weed and like so many energy drinks that I started to feel weird. And I remember the rain was just pouring. You couldn't even see the road barely. It was just like, we were fucking going so fast because we wanted to make it in time. And we were listening to Sandstorm, the song by Darude. It's a good memory. Anyway, we made it to the party. No one died or got pulled over or towed, and we didn't get our weed taken, and we had a pretty good weekend. Cruised back. It's just a good memory. Yeah, I don't know if I have much else to talk about today. I mean, there's a few things that I don't think really fit in with context, so I'm just going to leave them for another day. And yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to have like a light, funny, fun episode before Christmas. And I have an interview that I'm just going to polish up that episode and drop it this week. It's like a girl I know from high school. She lives in Vancouver now. She works in the film industry. And she also, she just recently quit that job. I was working in like a swingers club down in Vancouver. And has a lot of good stories and funny shit about like dating that we talked about, and even some stuff about ghosts and stuff about like when you're in the movie industry, how you are in haunted locations and such, and some pretty good storytelling stuff. I mean, like not super strange neighborhoody, like weird stuff, but just like a good human conversation about like an interesting life and things she's seen and done. And I thought it was really fun and funny. So I'm going to post that one this week as well. And fingers crossed, because we've been trying to line this up for a couple of weeks and I'm just like such a fucking mess. But I think Andy Rouse is coming on for my final episode of the year. And we're just going to do like a 2023 wrap up end of year show where we just shoot the shit and talk about what we have worked on this year, where we're at, and just like some life stuff, and see what Andy's been up to. He's obviously always got so much going on, which I don't really understand, because he like works so much. He has a family, a wife. He just moved like not that long ago, I'm pretty sure, or he's planning to move. I might have that wrong, but he's got so much on all the time. But he's literally doing podcasting so much. He's like always on other shows. He's working on his show, The Deep Chair, and he's like doing like group podcasts with a bunch of his podcast friends. And I'm just always in awe of him and like everything he puts into that stuff, especially like in my recent state of just being a real like dissociated mess of a human, and just like how much focus and drive he has. And I really appreciate him. And yeah, we're going to have a really good episode to finish the year off. And then I don't know what the new year will bring, but I'm excited for it. And I'm starting to get more focused and more on top of the things I really like doing. I know I said that before, but it's slow baby steps, and we'll get there, right? We'll get there together. So yeah. And also I want to say, like, if you want to be on the show, if you have some, stuff to talk about, some weird stuff, or you know, just like human condition stuff, and you want to come talk, I don't know, draw me a line, maybe we could see what we can make a show about. I'm just like really interested in hearing everyone's stories and what they're up to, and just like having these human conversations I'm really loving right now. And yeah, so hopefully in January, I actually have three people tentatively to book for interviews that I think will be really good. One's like my best friend in the world, and she's just like this magical fucking human you guys are gonna love. And then I think my friend Julian, the gypsy, is gonna pop back on if we can line that up. And then I know this chick that wrote a book about her healing journey, and I want to have her come talk about her book on the show. So hopefully if I could just focus a bit better and schedule these in, stop being so flaky, we'll get these on. But you know what my friend said to me yesterday? She said, you've always been the friend that's like always like has never been flaky, has always like done what they say they're going to do, been where they say they're going to be. And maybe during this time, like this hard time in your life, it's okay to be fucking flaky and who cares? Or like, you know, it's okay to be a bit messy, like allow yourself space for it. And so I'm allowing space for it, but I hope you guys hang through with me, and hopefully I can get back on the one show a week schedule once I get my fucking head together. I'm not promising anything, okay? It might even, I don't know, anyway, whatever. I love you guys for listening, and I love you for being here again with me for this little bit of a Gabfest episode. And hope you have a happy holidays. And I love you guys. Bye.